Hello, I'm Kirsty Gallagher, and this is Sporting Roots, the audio series where we explore some of Britain's most inspiring sporting locations and the role that rail is played in helping put them on the map. We want to motivate more people to take a trip to watch, learn about, and discover new sporting passions by train so they don't miss out on the well-being benefits of experiencing sports in the real world. You can plan your own journey of sporting discovery by train with National Rail today, because when it comes to sport, nothing beats being there. In this episode, we'll be taking a look at a sport with roots that are literally prehistoric, the multidisciplinary competition that is athletics. The great thing about humans is that we're so mobile. We're always running, jumping, or throwing something somewhere in the world. And we've always been keen to challenge one another to find out who's the best. This simple desire is how the sport of athletics was born. Competitors at the top of their game looking to better their opponents by being stronger or faster than them. A crowd thirsty to see records broken, champions dethroned, and new ones crowned. There's something almost gladiatorial about it. Throughout the 1800s, many countries across the world began to develop and codify a variety of athletic sports. Britain was no exception. Athletics competitions were held regularly at Sandhurst Military Academy, Royal Shrewsbury School, and Oxford College. A growing rail network fostered greater participation and grew the activity into the mammoth spectator sport we know today. The biggest competition in athletics is undoubtedly the Olympic Games. Originating in Greece, the ancient version of the Olympics dates back to 776 BC. However, the modern format of the Games was first held in 1896. It's long been a badge of honour for a country to have hosted the tournament, and Britain has been proud to have put on the Summer Olympics three times. In 1908, 1948, and most recently in 2012, London was the host city for the Games. The first event was held at the purpose-built White City Stadium. This remains Britain's most successful competition to date when looking at medal standings. Fans travelled by train from all over the country to watch our athletes top the medals table. Rail has also played a part in the competition itself. Special services were put on for runners competing in the Olympic marathon. Trains were laid on from Paddington to get racers and their support teams to the start line at Windsor Castle. The waiting room at Windsor Station was even turned into a dressing room for the runners on race day. Although the White City Stadium no longer stands, part of it was memorialised in paving stones. Just a 20-minute walk from Shepherd's Bush train station, anyone can run, hop, skip or jump across the original finish line of this historic site. Britain's most recent hosting of the Summer Olympic and Summer Paralympic Games was in 2012. Over 800 events were split over the two tournaments. Competitions were held across a variety of locations in London, with the main stadium being built in Stratford. The Queen Elizabeth Olympic Park was constructed to house the stadium, as well as the Athletes' Village. The Stratford International Railway Station is just a moment's walk from the park itself. During the events, high-speed javelin trains shuttled people from King's Cross Station to the park in just 7 minutes. A number of these trains were named after legendary British sports stars such as Lord Sebastian Coe and Dame Kelly Holmes. The London Games went on to forge new British Olympic and Paralympic heroes whose legacy will go down in sporting history. Two of the most historic days in both the Paralympic and Olympic competitions became known as Thriller Thursday and Super Saturday respectively. On these days, records were broken and Team GB won again and again and again. The achievements have been heralded as some of UK sport's most incredible moments. In the shining floodlights and roar of the stadium, Paralympians David Weir and Sarah Storey won 4 gold medals each. Dame Jessica Ennis-Hill took Olympic gold in the heptathlon, and legendary runner Sir Mo Farah went on to win gold in both the 5,000 and 10,000 metre races. The legacy of the Games was carefully designed to encourage a whole new generation of sports lovers to get involved, creating a happier and healthier population, and it couldn't have been more successful. You can still visit the park today, As well as hosting international athletic events, such as the Diamond League, the public can run, cycle, swim, and participate in a variety of other sports at the park's world-class facilities. There's also plenty to do outside the sports world, with the UK's tallest and fastest tunnel slide, as well as a bar, event space, and open-air cinema. And if legacy is something you're interested in, then a visit to Stoke Mandeville Stadium in Aylesbury might be the right trip for you. Within a 30-minute walk of the mainline station, the stadium is widely acknowledged as the birthplace of the Paralympic movement. The site is also home to the first National Paralympic Heritage Centre, celebrating and exploring the sport's unique history. The displays showcase the determination, sportsmanship and vision that gave the world the Paralympic Games. On exhibit are some of the first racing wheelchairs, former Paralympic torches and a variety of sporting equipment used at the Games. Sports have a lot of iconic moments that stick with us, but when it comes to track and field, there are few more iconic than that of former world champion Derek Redmond being helped across the line by his dad. In 1992 at the Barcelona Olympics, championship favourite Derek tore his hamstring in the 400-metre semi-finals. Devastated, he limped on, with his dad leaping from the crowd to help him finish the race and cross the line. The moment was witnessed by millions across the globe and has gone down as one of the most memorable images in British sporting history. And we're lucky enough to have Derek join us today. Derek, hi. Thanks for talking to us. It's so good to speak to you again.
Yes, it's good to see you as well. It's been a while, but yeah, good to see you.
Now, we've just relived your iconic father-son moment in Barcelona with your amazing dad, a huge story in sporting history. How do you remember that night, though?
I see it very different to a lot of other people. I went there to win a gold medal. I had a very good chance of winning a gold medal. I'd won the qualifying rounds and, you know, the last thing I expected was to pull a hamstring in the semi-final. I remember everything about that whole day, you know, my preparations, the warm-up, going to the track, the race starting, the moment that I pulled the hamstring, the moment I decided to get up and continue, you know, running, all of the noises and the sounds, and then my dad coming onto the track and the conversation that we had. So it's very vivid in my memory. But I guess one of the nice things to come from it is it showed a little bit of the relationship me and my dad had.
You have a raft of achievements ranging from world championships to British records. I know this is a difficult question. Of all the races you've run on home soil, though, which was your favourite and where was it?
Favourite track? Simple. My favourite track was in the Midlands. It was in Birmingham. It's called Alexander Stadium. And there's a few reasons why it was my favourite track. Number one, it's my home track. So the club that I ran for, Birchfield Harriers, were based there. And as a young athlete, that's where I used to have to travel to go and train. And be, you know, and one of the ways I used to get there, being literally a stone's throw, you know, a few miles from New Street Station, I used to get the train to go and train. So I used to train to train, basically. So that was absolutely fantastic for me because it made my life so much easier. You know, it was an easy way to get there. And one of the great things about traveling by train, more important on the way back than it was on the way there, I could actually sleep a little bit on the way back because you're absolutely clattered from the training session. So I could get on the train, get my head down for an hour there or thereabouts, and then get off the train from, you know, back home in Northampton. The other reason it was my favourite stadium is because I just thought it was a fast track, a quick track. And as I say, whether I was competing for my club nationally or internationally, I always felt like I was competing at home when I trained there.
So the train played an important role in those early years?
As I got into athletics and most competitions were at weekends, obviously that put a bit of pressure on my mum and dad because they had other things to do. So a lot of the times, again, being in an area where there was a train station quite close by. It was great that they could drop me off at a train station. I'd get the train to the stadium and then the team manager would meet us there and we would go away to the competition, win a load of medals and certificates. And I can remember as a youngster jumping back on the train, and I feel sorry for any of the general public that was in there, because you've got this carriage full of, I don't know, 9, 10, 11-year-olds all clambering all over the place, sharing about, shouting about what medals, what trophies, what little, you know, certificates they've all won. They were good times, good memories, actually. And that's where my kind of athletics background and the base of my athletics career really started.
Derek, in your opinion, how important is it that young people get the opportunity to participate in athletics or sport generally? And what doors does it open for them?
Yeah, I think it's really important. And, you know, not every person who takes up a sport is necessarily going to be a future world or Olympic champion. And that's not a reason to get into sport, but it's also not a reason not to get into sport. A lot of people who get into sport, me included, had no idea where it was going to take us. I believe sport helps promote the behaviours and the attitudes that we need to succeed whatever you do in life. And an example is whenever you look at a job application, the first 50 to 60% is the kind of person that that company is looking for. They're looking for someone who's dedicated, who's this, who's that, motivated, self-starter. You're talking about people who've been involved in sport. We have all of those traits.
Finally, it's not just young people that need to immerse themselves in sport, is it? What would you say to those armchair sports fans out there?
Live sport is so much better than watching it on a square box. I don't care how big that box is. Getting to live sport is the best thing ever. I still go to as many live events as I, you know, as I possibly can, because the atmosphere, the experience, and you know what? You also get a bit of motivation from it. And that is what makes people, I believe, take those particular sports up. And you get so much more from being there, and you take so much more away from being there than you can in any other format or way of watching sport.
Quite right. There are so many benefits to enjoying sport in the real world. I'm sure you've inspired lots of people to make the trip. Derek, it's been a pleasure as always. Thank you.
Thank you. Good to see you. And hopefully we'll catch up at some point somewhere soon.
Derek touched upon the importance of participating in sports. And when it comes to athletics, there are more opportunities to take part in races and fun runs across the country than ever before. The Park Run movement, which is a fully inclusive, organised running event, has exploded in popularity across the UK, being held at over 2,000 locations so far. Some of the biggest events are held regularly in Edinburgh, Bushey Park, Southampton, Milton Keynes and Cardiff. All of them are within a 30-minute walk or bus ride from the nearest train station. Meaning, if you want to take part, then you can just pop on your trainers and hop on a train. At the other end of the spectrum are ultramarathons. In fact, one train company hosts its own in partnership with the Railway Children Charity. 250 runners tackled marshland, nature reserves, beaches and seaside towns as they ran across the banks of the River Thames to the finish line in Southend. World-recognised mass running events are held annually across Britain and are open for all to apply. The train plays a key part in these events as they involve closing public roads. Events such as the London Marathon that I've completed myself and the Great North Run see thousands of competitors a year ditching the car and travelling to the start line by train. One of the most successful ever competitors at the Great North Run is Sir Mo Farah, with a record of 6 consecutive wins. At the South Shields Interchange train station, a 26-minute train journey from Newcastle Central Station, you can find a permanent cast of Sir Mo's footprints commemorating this achievement. But if you're looking for somewhat of a more professional club, then you could try becoming a member of the Birchfield Harriers Running Club in Birmingham. Just a half-hour walk from Perry Bar Station, or it's quicker if you run, stands Alexander Stadium. This world-class venue has been host to a variety of top-flight international competitions, But as a member of the club, you have access to the track and training facilities, meaning you can train and compete on the same surface as some of the world's greatest athletes and homegrown talents, like 400-metre British and European record holder Matthew Hudson-Smith. Other clubs across the country also offer access to stadium-based tracks for training, such as South London Harriers, who use Crystal Palace National Sports Centre, a three-minute walk from the station, and Reading Athletics Club, who run at Palmer Park Stadium, around half an hour's walk from Reading Station. And while we're covering homegrown heroes, we thought it would be a great opportunity to chat with National Rail's very own former Team England athlete, Philip Barnard. Hello, Philip.
Hello, Kirsty.
I can honestly say, in this audio series, you're the only sports person we're interviewing who also works for National Rail. You really are quite unique. Now, your sport is race walking. Can you tell us a bit more about it?
Yes, race walking is an athletic discipline where athletes compete over long distances, such as 10 kilometres, 20, 50. These distances are similar to long distance running races. However, race walking requires you to adhere to two main rules. Firstly, you cannot lose contact with the ground. This means your toe cannot leave the ground until the other heel has landed. Secondly, you cannot land with a bent knee. To add to the difficulty of this, in every race walk, there are judges spotted around the course, and they check your technique, they hand out warning cards for violations, and they can, and often do, disqualify you from the race on the spot for breaking the rules. This technique takes a long time to master at the start, but once perfected, it leads to that iconic smooth race walking flow that you see.
You climbed the amateur ladder to get into Team England and participated in Olympic qualifier events. How did you realise you were so good at it?
The realisation for race walking came when I was appointed manager of a railway booking office in London at just the age of 20 years old. It was a fairly hectic office environment, so to burn it off at the end of the day, I decided to take my fascination for athletics seriously and a step further. And as half of my commute was walking, and I tell you, I could walk pretty fast, I started to time myself. And I said, there must be a sport in this. And there was. So I walked into my local sports centre and asked about it. And I just got a blank stare. Then just as I was walking out, somewhat dejected, a receptionist out the back shouted out, "What about Alan O'Rourke?" It just so happened that there was a race walking trainer where I lived, which, being a minority sport, is a pretty rare thing. And that moment changed everything for me. Mm. Alan took me under his wing and started training me three times a week. Twice a week, I'd take an extra stop on the train coming home to Leon C Station, where he'd have me train on the punishing belt and ways that are just outside that station, going up and down the hill, mostly up to build endurance. And this is where I learned the meaning of endurance. You know, rain, shine, snow, thunder. You went out at your fastest until you felt like collapsing. I then linked up with a former GB international walker, Irene Bateman, and both of them together coached me to success, winning club championships, county championships, and qualifying for intercounties, national championships, and racing for Team England.
So how would you recommend that people get involved in race walking?
If you're inspired by the Olympics, there's lots of places you can try race walking by yourself, be it sports centres, tracks, or even just open spaces. And these are all accessible by train. If you like what you see, give it a go. I guarantee you will feel silly doing it for the first time, but you never know, you could be our next Olympian. Not every athletic club has a race walking division. Many do though. Some notable ones would be Tunbridge and Stenning down south, Enfield and Haringey, Belgrave Harriers and Ilford in London, Birchfield Harriers and Leicester in the Midlands, and Lancashire Walking Club in the North. If you feel you want to give it a go, contact one of these or your local club to find out more.
Philip, I'm sure I'm not the only one who's going to give race walking a try after this. I am. Thank you so much for speaking to us today.
Brilliant. Thank you, Kirsty. Thank you for having me.
As we've heard, athletics has always drawn huge interest at all levels of the sport. There's a purity and simplicity that seems to speak directly to our hearts. Whether you want to watch the Herculean feats of pro athletes, take part in a marathon or fun run, or join one of Britain's amazing grassroots athletics clubs, just remember all you need to do is hop on a train to get involved. When it comes to sport, nothing beats being there. Visit nationalrail.co.uk/sportingroutes to discover the rest of our audio series and plan your next journey to watch, learn about, and discover new sporting passions by train.